Hey, this is Steve, and this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. So when you look at your life today, do you see the power of God at work, in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace? Or do you see chaos? And do you see craziness? Which would you rather see? Would you rather see what the world has to offer or what God wants to speak into your life? Youth pastor Jason Turner walks us through the path that Jesus gave us to be able to see God.
First blank on your page this morning. We'll just start out. I want to see, what do you see in your life right now? What do we see in our lives? Because now that the summer's over, we are ready to get back into the season of what? What's a one word that you guys think would typify this season in our lives?
Football.
Okay, that's part of it. Very good. Very good. But I think that we tend to get super busy during this season of the year. Now, I tried to keep up with everything that was going on in me and my family's life on my digital calendar a little earlier, but I couldn't do it. I had to have something paper that I could keep right in front of me. So I guess the next blank on your page is look at your calendar so we can see what's going on in our lives. Because, okay, so yesterday, my son Seth and Noah were staying with Sarah's parents in Charlotte. So we drove down and we brought them back. And we decided that yesterday, on the Saturday, make sure that Sarah, my boys aren't in here right now. On the Saturday before school starts back, that it would be a great day to go school clothes shopping for our kids. And it was fine, it was okay, but we went to an outlet mall, and apparently about 453 million other parents thought that that would be a good idea too. And I don't know if you guys have met my daughter, but she's about this tall. Her name is Grace. She's a super, super sweet girl, unless she doesn't get her way. But, you know, we went, and we didn't take a stroller for Grace. So I spent about 45 minutes chasing my daughter around the Adidas store while our two sons asked to have everything that they saw on every rack in the store. And it was super busy and super chaotic, and I was praying to God. Well, actually, I was asking God if I had ever prayed for patience, because when you ask God to put something in your life, He doesn't necessarily give it to you. He gives you an opportunity to practice it. So I guess that's kind of a warning going into the message. Be careful what you pray for. Maybe, all right, so when we look at our calendar and we're getting back into the school year starting back, I just want to kind of look at this calendar real quick. Now this guy, yeah, they have a whole lot going on. But as I look at this week, okay, we're here today. We've got a meeting later on tonight. Tomorrow, we've got staff meeting that I need to go down and buy some food because our youth are going to be doing the teacher appreciation breakfast at the high school at 7 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Then Tuesday night, my son's got soccer. Then Wednesday night, we have youth. Then Thursday night, my son has soccer. Then Friday's the first day of school. Actually, no, I take that back. Wednesday night is the open house, so I have to manage to get to one school, Gilmer Middle, and then the Ella J Elementary, all within a 2-hour period of time, so my kids can meet their teachers and I can meet them too. And then Saturday, we've got a meeting here, and then Sunday, and then Monday, and then Tuesday. So I'm not busy at all. Another thing that as we look around at our lives and what we see right now, we can kind of look at, okay, so we went school shopping and today we get the unenviable privilege of going school supply shopping. where, as you parents know, can kind of be reflected as you look at your bank account. So that's your next, your bank account, this number that you're judged by, I guess, or a way that reflects what we think we're worth here in this world. Because guess what? The busyness in our lives and our frantic running around, it costs something, right? It doesn't just cost time and stress, it costs money too. So what else do we see in our lives? Let's think about the bills, the mailbox. The mailbox, you know, we have, through all this busyness and through not having time to sit down and work through our finances, sometimes the mailbox can be like this. The bills are just piling up and piling up and piling up and busy. But I guess when we think about where we are right now and what we see going on, let's think about our goal for a minute. Because sometimes I think that we have as our goal, because when you're busy and when your mind's preoccupied, I don't know about you, but it can be really, really exhausting to me. And I'm just trying to get through the day-to-day things. And my goal, if I'm honest with you guys, and I think a good question to ask is the next blank on your page, is our goal just to get through the week? So as we were driving back from Charlotte yesterday, we were listening to Spotify, and Sarah had her playlist going. And one of the songs that she had on her playlist was Everybody's Working for the Weekend. You guys have heard that song? And it just kind of struck me as ironic that I really do think that all of us, and caught in our busy culture, and when we look at the influences in our lives, we're all trying to get to the weekend so we can relax. And we can try for something good. Like maybe you really enjoy going out on the lake, going out on a boat. Maybe you enjoy spending time with your family. And we're seeking these good things. Look at that little girl's smile. Man, before, while you guys were singing and worshiping, Ava Lynn Poole was back here and she was dancing around with her mom. She's so happy, so happy. Or, you know, one of my favorite good things is that awesome Chick-fil-A sandwich. But I think, you know, when we're striving, when we're just trying to get through the week, when we're exhausted and we're striving after what's good, I think a lot of times, I guess that's the next blank on your page. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit here, but do we strive for the good? Because all of those things, guys, all of those things are good, okay? Spending time doing things that you enjoy, spending time with your family. And gosh, the first bite of the Chick-fil-A sandwich, in my opinion, is the best. Because as you eat more of it, you realize that there's less and less of it. Anyway, I'm sorry, I got on a sidetrack there. I'm sorry, and you can't go to Chick-fil-A because they're closed on Sunday. I'm sorry. But guys, as we strive for the good, I think what we're looking for is we're looking for ways to make us happy, right? Aren't we looking for things that make us happy here in this world? And happiness is a little different than what we think it might be. Because every time that we search for happiness, well, what happens after you're done fishing? You can eat them, sure. You take the boat back out of the water, and then, you know, you go back home. Or what happens when you spend time with your family? I had an awesome opportunity this weekend to spend some time with my in-laws, and that was a great, great experience. Okay, there's an underlying joke there. Hopefully some of you guys are just processing that in your head, not laughing out loud because you're sitting beside your spouse. But That was great. Thank you. She just got it. Those relationships that come from spending time with our family, when we're pursuing happiness, we look around and happiness always tends to fall short, right? Because when we see, when we get that boat back home, we look over next door and a neighbor, you know, he's got a bigger boat. Or we think, hey, if my boat was like that, I'd be more happy. Or we try and be happier than the Joneses, or we scroll through Facebook, and Facebook is like the picture perfect happiness of everything that's going on. And Facebook can go either one of two ways. It could be like your picture perfect life, or it can be sharing all of the drama that's going on. Either way, I'm not a huge fan. But when we're seeking to be happy, we tend to compare ourselves to other people, right? When we are seeking to have the happiness of emotion, we still experience the brokenness that exists in our relationship. We are pursuing what we think we need. And what we think we need is super weak. Because when we're trying to see what other people have, what do we want to do? We want to achieve what we think makes them happy. So we want the bigger boat or the bigger house. But we can't really afford it because we haven't been managing our money very well. So what do? We go to the bank. All right, and we go to the bank and they take our calendar and they take our bills and they look at them together. And they use a calendar, which we've tried to fill with lots of stuff. And they take our bills, which, because we've tried to be happy, are kind of piling up on us. And what do we get? He looks at us. And he doesn't see our purpose in life or what we want to do later on or what we want to become or what we hope to be in the future. He looks at our calendar and he looks at our bills and they give us a number. And that's your credit score. And that tells you how much money that they will allow you to borrow. Guys, do you want to be more than just a number? I know I do. And I know that there's more to life than just a number. So the next blank, is there more? There has to be something better than good. Jesus tells us there is something better. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Because see, when we look at happiness and we look at this word blessed, they are two completely different things. So just look here at this verse. Let's look at it one more time. Look at it with me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. See, we see right here, Jesus doesn't want this to be a mystery for us. Okay, guys? We see that to see God, the next blank on your page, to see God requires a pure heart. To see God requires a pure heart. But see, when we're seeking after that emotion, that emotional high of being happy. You know, when you buy a new car and you get to drive it off the lot, in those first 6 or 7 weeks when you don't have to make a payment, you really feel like you've gotten something for nothing. And then that bill comes and the emotion slides down from there. God wants so much more than you for that. But apart from God, apart from his saying that we're blessed, we're just based on emotions, guys. And God wants us to be blessed. But see, we can't get here on our own. Guys, this is so important for us to understand. So many Christians, people who say that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, live a weak life because we're caught up in this. We're caught up in being busy. We're caught up in wearing our busyness like it's a badge of honor. We pursue those things that the culture tells us to keep up with the Joneses and to keep up with what we see in the world. But guys, that's emotional. God wants this to happen in our lives. And the difference between happiness, because if you guys will look in certain Bible translations, they translate this word happiness. But blessed is so much better a word because blessed is based on an abiding joy. It's not based on an emotion that can go up or go down. Miranda, you said I was making you hungry a little earlier, and I'm sorry because when I get hungry, I get in kind of a bad mood. Hangry, that's exactly right. Get hangry, and that's an emotion. But God wants us to live in a place where we realize that he supplies all of our needs. It's so much more than emotional. When we pursue him, man, that is where it's at. That's better than good. But to see God requires what? This is where a pure heart. Now we have to realize that because of who we are, because of how we've been born, because of our desire to want what makes us happy and to grasp on to the things that the culture tells us that it make us happy, we're impure. What our culture tells us is that you can have this, $29.95, and for the next 10 minutes, if you call, you can get this added in for an extra $9.99. We see this everywhere, but guys, listen, even in our impure hearts, even when we're grasping for things that are impure, God has something better for us. To see him requires a pure heart. So in our impurity, in our broken relationships, in our pursuing the wrong things in life, guess what? We deserve for that. Because you and I, we weren't born wanting to pursue God. I was reminded of that yesterday, chasing my daughter around the Adidas store. We want to do what we want to do. See, even in that, God, great mercy and grace on us, because what God did, because he wants to have a relationship with us, he wants to restore that broken relationship, that one broken relationship that's more important than any other. And that's our broken relationship with God. In order to restore that relationship, in order to give us the power to have a pure heart to see him, he went to the greatest length that he could go. He became a person. Jesus, just like you and just like me, was tempted in all ways, just as we are, but did not pursue what he wanted to do. But he was in perfect obedience to God. And because of that, because Jesus lived a life with a pure heart who sought God's kingdom above all else, he substituted in for us. He substituted in for me when oftentimes I want to do anything but study God's word. He said, Jason, he said, Ricky, he said, Courtney, I love you. I want to restore my relationship with you. Because of what we've done, we deserve to be punished, but Jesus substituted in for that. And God looked at Jesus' holiness and perfection, and he punished Jesus. He gave to him what he should have given to me and what he should have given to you by just pursuing the emotional, the good in our lives. God, when we understand this, when we can really get a hold of this, this is what's going to change our lives, because Jesus displayed his power not in defeating the temptations around him, but in taking on the punishment that we deserve, but by rising from the dead 3 days later to prove that his payment on our behalf, him taking the punishment that we deserve, satisfied God's wrath, satisfied the punishment that you and I deserve. And when we step into a place where we see, man, I have an impure heart, I'm sorry, God, I want to stop pursuing just what's good because it always falls short, but God, I want you. See, guys, because when we can understand that God is not just the gift, which he is, but he's also the giver of the gift. We can't see God unless God allows us to see him. You get that? Do we understand that? Because he is so much higher. He is so much holier than we are. But that he chose to come down. He chose to be punished for us. Guys, this is huge. Stop living a weak life. God wants so much more from us than this. To see God, to see him move, requires that pure heart. And the greatest commandment, Jesus Christ said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. The word heart means with everything that you are biblically, and we can see God, not just in the future, but we can see God work in and among us, in our sphere of relationships. Guys, in our calendar, in our busyness, in our bank account, God can transform the way that we use what he's given us. But here's what it takes. Here's what it takes. Psalm 119. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The psalmist says, how can a young person stay pure? It's by obeying your word. Guys, listen, this is super important. Who are we listening to? Who are we listening to? Who speaks the loudest into our lives? Because guys, if we take God's scripture, if we take God's word, and what do we do with words? We speak, we listen. If we take God's words and we leave them over there, and the only time we engage with God's word is the hour or so that we're in here on a Sunday morning, that's not going to cut it. I love the analogies that Pastor Steve used last Sunday about relationships and how you can engage in relationships. And if I only spent 1 hour a week with my wife, how good would my relationship be? You know, not good. That is exactly right. We need to invest in our relationship with God. But who are we listening to? Are we listening to the enemy? Are you and I listening to the enemy? And guys, oftentimes the biggest enemy of the best is the good. And we as Christians, I'm stepping on my own toes here now, guys, okay? We get so caught up in being busy that we don't have time to listen to that still small voice of God. And we get caught up in what we're doing in our schedules. But the enemy wants to keep us pursuing the good. He wants to keep us listening to the words that the culture tells us, that you're not good enough, that you just need more. Well, if you look like him, you'd be happier. Or if you had what she had, you'd be happier. And that's all a lie. It's all a lie. Or do we listen to God? Because God helps us to pursue what's best. God helps us to pursue what's best. You know, my friend Charlie Ginger has been giving the messages on Wednesday night. And see, I'm convinced, guys, that God is far more concerned with our holiness than our happiness. Say that one more time. God is far more concerned with our holiness than our happiness. My friend Charlie said, when you say stuff like this, it's not really marketable, is it? So this is not really marketable. How many of you guys get those warm, fuzzy feelings in your stomach when you hear this? No, because this goes against what we want. It goes against what the culture tells us, and it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, guys, as I've kind of been able to live my life and God has been speaking and doing things, I'm convinced now, I think more and more each day, that God wants you and I as Christians not to be comfortable. Because think about it, when you depend on him, when your life is comfortable, who do you depend on? When your life is comfortable, who do you tend to depend on? Yourself. Yourself. Oh, I got this. I can take care of this. I can get a promotion. I can get a new job. I can buy that car. I can buy that house. But guys, when we're stretched and when we experience pain, we tend to run to what we think is most important. I was reading an article, I shared this during the first service, but how many of you guys are familiar with who Joni Erickson Tada is? Okay, this past weekend was the 50th anniversary of when she got in a horrible car accident, and she's been a quadriplegic for these last 50 years. But to hear her story and to hear how she glorifies God even through the pain, man, it's super inspiring. So guys, take a minute right now and think of somebody that you know in your life that has a lot of wisdom, has a lot of experience, that you see as a person that's really able to see God in their lives. Now, when I think of that person, I don't think of somebody that's had it easy their entire life. I think of somebody that's been through some struggles, man. Who's lived life and has come through to tell about it. Who's depended not on themselves or not on what the world says that they are, but has learned to listen to God's word and to depend on him. That's the person I want to be. There's a saying I share with the youth a lot, man. Be the change that you want to see in the world. Be the person that you want to be. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. Now, guys, when we see this, when we understand that God wants to speak his words of power in our life, in the beginning, God said, and it was spoken. These words of power, Jesus Christ gave great words of power. The message that this verse comes from, Matthew chapter 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. And through that message, he inspired thousands of people and turned the world upside down. These words of power will cause us to change everything. Listen, this has the power to change everything. That's a blank on your page. This has the power to change everything. We can see God here as we seek and listen to his words. Jesus Christ said, that to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness above all else. As we do that, as we see God more, as we see God here, we can change the broken and the busy and even the good as we are made pure by God. And through doing that, we can change now. We can change what's going on today. Because students, Friday, when you go back into a classroom, you may be the only Jesus that your classmates get to see. Parents, adults, as you go through your life, when you're seeking God, when you are listening for his word, when you're not listening to the lies that the enemy gives, you have people in your sphere of influence, man, and they're looking at you. Whether you think they are or not, they are looking at you. What do you want them to see? Do you want them to see Jesus? Or do you want them to see somebody who's just seeking to be a carbon copy of mediocre? Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says to throw off your old nature. When I was reading through these verses, I was thinking about, do you guys have sons in here? All right? Yeah. My boys, they like to wrestle a lot. And I was thinking of those times when my oldest Noah throws Seth off of him. And it's not just a sweet little kind moving him out of the way. He throws him off. It takes effort. It's not easy. But throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. But instead, this is how we get handles on this. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and actions and put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Truly righteous and holy. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Behold, all the old things have passed away. All things are created new. So what's your response this morning? What's your response, Christian? Because we got to start where we are. This is the year of the Bible. Prime opportunity for us to be in God's word and to be allowing his Spirit to move in our lives. But guys, if we only experience God's word in here, that's not enough to renew our hearts. Make a commitment. Get into his word. Listen to his voice. Because these are words of power. The words that the culture shouts at us, man, those are weak. Those are lies. You don't want to be that number, that credit score. And God doesn't want you to be either. Listen to his word. Find his purpose. Right now here at the Orchard Church, we've got a lot of great things coming up in the month of August where you can discover the reason that you are here. It starts here, but it doesn't just end here. We're going to have a life group launch opportunity for you to engage with other believers as we do life together. There are opportunities for you to serve everywhere. Guys, it has to start with you making a commitment to listen to God's voice above the voice of the world.
Hey, this is Steve. I really am excited about this next message series that we'll be doing during the month of August. We're going to zoom down tightly onto a real personal and specific story in the book of Esther, and we're going to take 4 weeks to explore where is God when I need him the most. I think everybody wants to know the answer to that question at one time or another in their life, and I believe this series will be really powerful for us. So I hope you'll join us for this series all four Sundays in August, and I hope you'll invite your neighbor, your coworker, your family members to join us as well, because I think this will be really powerful for everyone. So join us Sundays in August. Details are available on our website at orchardellaj.com. And I hope to see you during this new message series next month.